for your free-for-all Friday. Bullet points for your free-for-all Friday. Let's start with this game day tomorrow in East Lansing. You know, it's rivalry week. Why not? We're going to talk about that. Michigan, Michigan State, Western Michigan still could have, you know, one of the best teams anywhere in the country. Let's not forget about them. Plus, Donald Trump could win from the bottom up, upside down, inside out. It's a narrow path to victory, but it's still there for him. I'll explain what I mean by that. The daughter of a man who died in the hands of police in New York City asking Hillary Clinton, why are you using my dad to advance your political career? Why are you using my dead dad to advance your political career? We'll have all of that, plus Brian Crabtree, Steve Doolin, the professor, Jim Brandstatter from the University of Michigan, George Blaha, and Megan Barth, whose mother invented Buns of Steel. I can't make that up. And there's only one place you can get all of this in one handy-dandy reusable package. It's called The Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is The Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, welcome to it. It is Free for All Friday, my friends. Apparently, Hillary Clinton was the fundraiser for the wife of the FBI man that decided her fate in the email scandal. You see, his wife ran for office. Hillary held a big fundraiser. She was the fundraiser in chief. Steered big dollars to the man's wife. And later, he was the guy in charge of her FBI investigation. I mean, there's no conflict of interest there, right? We're going to talk about that. Plus, your experiences with Obamacare, your concerns about the future when it comes to healthcare costs, how you're going to pay for it, your kids, your grandkids, so on and so forth. It's the thing we call Free for All Friday. And with that in mind, the phone number is 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Brian in Southern Michigan, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Remember when I said liberals are spoiled brats? Well, I couldn't understand or hear the name of the person that called with these WikiLeaks things. They called Chelsea Clinton a spoiled brat with no direction. So it's not only me that feels this way about liberals. It's other people that feel that liberals are brats. And Hillary's a brat, Bill's a brat, and Obama's a brat.
Well, they're worse than that.
And brats,
because they're worse than that because they have that attitude, but they have all the power. They have the levers of power, which is why they can... You know, Obama can reach out and investigate people using the Internal Revenue Service. Hillary Clinton can avoid criminal charges by, you know, being a fundraiser for the wife of the guy that eventually does the investigation. It's a lot worse than being a brat. It's a person of spoiled nature that has, who doesn't frankly have to apply the same rules to themselves they do to everyone else. It's a lot worse. Go on.
Well, they basically started out as the brat in the grocery store, screaming their lungs out, I want a candy bar. Now it moved up to, I want to be president. I want to be president. I want Obamacare. You must pass it before you read it.
Well, and you got that right, Brian. Thank you for checking in. You know, it is fair to say that 2016 has been the honest election season of my lifetime, likely yours as well. Most people cannot remember a presidential election with so many sharp turns and unexpected surprises, from WikiLeaks to Access Hollywood to small hands and a fainting candidate. It's been a roller coaster ride, to say the least. Hillary Clinton had to claw her way past Bernie Sanders, a Marxist, in the primaries in a fight that dragged on months longer than most observers would have ever guessed or her campaign would have liked. Donald Trump was given almost no chance of coming out on top of the 17-candidate GOP field, and despite many comments that may have been campaign killers in past elections. He just kept chugging right along to nab the nomination. Nate Silver, along the way, lost all of his sparkle by getting predictions right because he got them wrong over and over again this time around. Democrats have been banking on Trump disintegrating, but he just won't go away. And with little more than a week to go now, nearly every credible poll in America has the race coming down to the wire. Most of the polling, not only nationally, but also in the all-important battleground states, puts the race within the margin of error. Hillary still has the advantage, but the health question may erode her chances. This time, it's not her health I'm talking about, but the health of the Affordable Care Act that has suddenly made many Democrats sick about Election Day, and it should. Not one Republican supported the law that was shoved through the back door with a parliamentary trick unlike any law in American history. Remember, Mitt Romney was widely expected to win 4 years ago, but then something happened, and he was left hanging well short of his goal. His lead was as much as 6 points, according to the polls, but it never materialized on Election Day. Maybe people just didn't turn out, or maybe Barack Obama was able to capture lightning twice in a bottle. Either way, we know how it ended, and he was able to carry some down-ballot Democrats to victory with him in 2012. This year, however, the strangest of election phenomenon could occur, the likes of which I have never seen. Donald Trump riding a bit of a surge now in rising poll numbers following the admission by the Obama administration that the cost for Obamacare health care premiums will be going through the roof and could more than double in some places. And it has Republicans down-ballot pounding the message. These people lied to you about the Affordable Care Act, and it's failing badly. The surge isn't going from the top of the ticket down like you would normally expect, but actually, it seems to be happening in reverse. The effect is upside down. Imperiled Republicans running for re-election like Senator Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania are seeing deficits turn into leads over the course of just a couple of days by pounding the message of the failing Obamacare scheme. The Democrats' dreams of taking over the U.S. Senate are all but gone now. And it seems that these down-ballot candidates are pushing Donald Trump upward. Is it possible that folks running for Senate in the House will drag, push, and pull Trump over the finish line instead of him pulling them on his coattails? Simply put, the answer is yes. All politics are local, and the message in congressional districts all over America is that Hillary failed by continuing to support a law she knew was terrible. Senate races are being defined by the idea that Hillary care, or any version of such a thing, will be a disaster, a continued disaster. America delivered that message unequivocally in 1994 by ushering in Newt Gingrich and the Contract with America, and it seems it may happen again with a different twist. The massive unpopularity of Obamacare appears to outweigh the general disdain for Donald Trump. Obamacare's negative mass may instead be added to the general dislike of Hillary Clinton, which is large as well, and the result, in the strangest of formulas, occurs where the down-ballot anger secures the White House for Donald Trump. How bizarre. It seems, in the end, voters may like their own money in their own pockets even more than they dislike the bombastic, vulgar, unfiltered Donald Trump. And so it goes. The hotline number is 888-900-9966. Sit tight, Matt. I'll get to you. I've got a phone line open for you as well. 888-900-9966. It is Free for All Friday.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, if you didn't see this, you might have missed this, but here's a little update to the story if you did miss it. Donald Trump's star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood was attacked and destroyed by some lovely social justice warriors somewhere. I mean, these lovely young fascists that we've raised. But a 64-year-old woman of color has taken up the vigil of parking her wheelchair on top of the star so it won't get further attacked. That's right, a black woman, 64 years old, homeless, defending Donald Trump with signs in her hands saying, 30 million illegals here and I'm living in the street. And that's part of Donald Trump's message to social justice warriors. Millions of illegals here while our own people, this woman in particular, in her wheelchair, unable to get the care she needs or a place to stay, or proper food or medicine, And she's handwritten these signs, 20 million illegals, and America's sleep in the street, one of the signs she has in her hand. Let's go to Matt and Okemos on this free-for-all Friday. Matt, welcome to the program.
Yeah, two short things, Steve, is that the reporters go from news to the administration and then back to being lobbyists from the administration or back to news reporters within the liberal Democratic Party. Not as much to the Republican. Way more through the Liberal Party, the Democratic. So that's why the corruption's there with the news reporters. The second thing is Hillary is a lawyer, and she will continue to push the law to the limit. And Trump is not a lawyer. He will seek advice about where he can go. And you don't want a lawyer in there. Let me tell you what. They will push it.
Well, we've had plenty of lawyers in Congress, my friend. More than 90% of the people that are in the United States Senate, the United States Congress are lawyers by trade. I think we should have a more balanced look at the nation. Maybe a few plumbers, farmers, tradespeople, teachers, nurses. That would be nice to have those folks in Congress, and not a whole bunch of lawyers that have a ton of money to support each other to run. Matt, I appreciate the phone call. A more rounded, well-rounded Congress would be a hell of a lot more beneficial to you and I. Maybe a couple of talk radio guys could be in there, and women. The phone number here, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. As the WikiLeaks continue to hemorrhage and Freedom of Information Act documents pour out, it has become perfectly crystal clear that the Clinton Foundation was nothing more than a money-making machine for Bill and Hillary and Chelsea and a couple of the members of their close circle. Former presidential candidate, hard left-wing Democrat Dennis Kucinich, the former mayor of Cleveland, formerly ran for president as a Democrat, was a guest on Fox News and talked about the dealings of the Clinton Foundation and that Hillary had given her approval to sell uranium. Uranium One, it's a company responsible for the production of one-fifth of U.S. uranium to the Russian atomic agency Rosatom. As reported by MarketWatch, Hillary and former President Bill Clinton in turn were given large payoffs from the Kremlin. It is clip 8. Hardcore Democrat and liberal Dennis Kucinich about uranium, Russia, and the Clintons. Go.
Of all the work that I've seen done with respect to the foundation and possible conflicts, there's two areas that need to be looked at. One is the Saudi connection. Of Saudis giving money to the Clinton Foundation, is that influencing U.S. policy in Syria, particularly with respect to the statements that Hillary Clinton has made of late about a no-fly zone? The second point is, all these attacks that have been going on by the Democratic Party against Russia, I just wonder the extent to which it may be to kind of misdirect public attention away from a uranium deal that the Clinton Foundation benefited from and that resulted in Russia controlling about 50% of U.S. uranium output. I mean, that's a serious issue. And in the meantime, we're getting all this baloney about Russia trying to hack the U.S. election.
So Dennis doesn't buy it, the baloney about the Russians hacking the emails. There it is from a hardcore Democrat who ran for president, not a supporter of Hillary Clinton, apparently. Let's go to the hotline now. Steve on the line checking in. Steve, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a constant observation for you, and that is, as I listen to Fox News, they say one thing. When I listen to ABC, NBC, CBS, the Clinton News Network, they don't even mention half of the stuff you're getting on Fox News. I'm dead serious, ladies and gentlemen. And O'Reilly makes it very clear, and I didn't believe him at first. He says, some of the stuff you're hearing here, you will never hear anyplace else. And so I took the challenge back here about 3 weeks ago, and all I can say is, oh, my God.
You only took the challenge 3 weeks ago? I mean, this is just coming to your attention? I mean, come on, Steve-O.
No, I believed it before, but I didn't believe it to the degree that I'm witnessing it.
Oh, they don't cover the news on the networks to speak of. I mean, let me ask you this. How is it? Hold on.
You are 100% correct, first of all. Now ask me.
Well, the question simply is, how is it that ABC, NBC, CBS have given almost no coverage at all to the Obamacare skyrocketing prices? We have to rely on the newspapers in Minneapolis and Cleveland and Tallahassee and these other swing states to make sure that the people that are voting in those places actually have access to the news, which is Obamacare rates going up. And that's just one easy example. Steve-O, I got to run. Greatly appreciate it. The hotline number is 888-900-9966. It is Free for All Friday for your entertainment and benefit. Who do you got there, Alex? All right, well, we'll just sit tight on that one for a second. We're up against the break anyway. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. I want to ask you about your personal intertanglings with healthcare over the last 8 years. What has happened to you, whether it's directly involved with Obamacare? Have you been impacted? Have your rates gone up? Have you kept your doctor, lost your doctor? Have you saved $2,500? What's happened to you? I seriously want to know. And then we're going to hear Clarence Thomas in a rare interview. He makes comments about the nature of the Supreme Court in 2016 and whether or not it's morphed into something different from the time that he came onto the court. Clarence Thomas, we'll hear from him, plus so much more. And who's your pick for the football game tomorrow? The big game, of course, the rivalry, Michigan, Michigan State. Michigan State's had Michigan's number for a long time, but I think Jim Harbaugh might be ready for tomorrow. What do you think? It's Free for All Friday. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
It's Free for All Friday, 33 minutes past the hour. My next guest down there, you know, trying to defend the Republic from his perch in the Peach State. Brian Crabtree, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to be here. Good morning.
You're a peach. How do you like that, huh?
Well, that's... I've been called worse.
Well, sure. PublisherTalk40.com, contributor to Town Hall as well. So I've got a question for you. I want to go a little bit of a different direction. I don't think we're going to be a third world banana republic, not quickly, if Hillary Clinton wins a week from Tuesday, but we're going to continue that slow slide. But here's my question, Brian. You look at all the scandals following her, and now you see, I mean, every day it's piling up, whether it's Podesta's sister-in-law getting paid off, it's the FBI. The husband whose wife got tons of money for her campaign ends up being the guy in charge of the investigation for Hillary Clinton's emails. How convenient is that? And it just goes on and on and on, whether it's Russian uranium, it doesn't matter. There's just scandal in every direction. She's going to be a crippled president from day one, so hobbled by scandal. She has no political clout. She'll have no mandate. She hasn't had one of those in years. And it's just not going to be anything workable. And that's funny stuff. Use that for yourself. Anyhow, but I'm serious. I mean, she's not going to have a workable situation.
Yeah, I mean, very good point. She's going to take office and immediately jump right into what we faced with Bill Clinton, perhaps impeachment coming up, because there's going to be more and more that comes out. I mean, there's blood in the water, and the Republican sharks are going to go after it. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, it's not just the Republican sharks. Hell, I'm just had Kucinich here. Dennis Kucinich, the hard left wing, former mayor of Cleveland, former Democratic presidential candidate, hard left guy, saying, look at this uranium deal. He goes, this stinks to high heaven, and so does the Saudi Arabia deal. He's like, this can't fly. You know, and he's a guy who has no love lost for Donald Trump, trust me, but he gets one thing, and this is where I like even the Bernie Sanders or the Kuciniches of the world. At least they understand the rule of law. We don't have to agree on policy. But we agree in America, under the law, we should be equal. Do you agree with that?
I agree. And here's, I said this week on my radio show, and I wrote about this last week in townhall.com. I said, listen, I'm not so much saying that Donald Trump is the savior or that he's going to do anything right, but at least there's hope with Donald Trump. He is from the context of actual breaking the law. I don't see any kind of illegal activity. Maybe we can question character a little bit, if I'm being humble about all this, but a country that can pick someone who has so many skeletons in the closet from a standpoint of taking their public service and their public office and selling it to the highest bidder, if the public can actually do that, then what that means is the people who are simply voting for their own entitlements are now running this country from a standpoint of overpowering the electorate in voting. That is a country in decline, and there is no way to stop it. That's what a Hillary Clinton election means.
Well, you've just defined why true democracies always fail eventually. That's because as soon as the people realize they can vote themselves into the Treasury, the party's over. Once the people realize they can vote themselves a raise and vote themselves into the coffers, the party's over. But see, in a republic, you're supposed to be able to defend yourself from that kind of tomfoolery, from that kind of shenanigan. But here we are, in effect, people voting, you know, because they want free student loans, because they want more Social Security, they want to raise, they want more free this, more free that. And you vote for, in effect, it goes right back. And this is, you know, why people like FDR knew you couldn't have public service, public sector unions, because they would vote themselves into the Treasury. Even FDR understood that basic premise. When he was doing all his liberal things, he was smart enough to know that it's all off the rails now when it comes to socialism and the programs and who gets to vote their way in. And you and I, Brian, we get to go to work every day and fund this thing, of course, until they pull your mic plug and mine.
Yeah, that's coming, too, at the direction we're going. I mean, systematically, one by one, they're taking our rights away. And, you mentioned FDR, and speaking of Democrats from many years ago, the original intention, I believe, of the Democrat Party was to heal pain and suffering that perhaps Republicans weren't attentive enough to, you know, giving people a bridge to the future. Now they just enslave them in these entitlements, because if people became empowered and had upward mobility and could actually get a job and make more money and climb the ladder, so to speak, they'd become conservative in this environment, because the minute you have money and you realize the hard work
you have
responsibility takes to get it, and you have freedom, you're right.
Yeah,
you
money,
realize that that's under assault by the left.
Money doesn't create happiness, make no mistake, but it creates opportunities and options, and people like to have opportunities and options, and there's been nothing that has freed more millions of people in this world, in the history of the world, than economic freedom. Economic freedom, the ability to go do for yourself, choose for yourself. How much money do I want to work 40 hours a week, or do I want to work 60? Do I want to build a business, or do I want to work for that guy's business? Economic freedom is the foundation of liberty itself, in my estimation. And that's why if you go back and you look at the foundations of this country, the underpinnings, it was based on economic freedom first and foremost in many different areas, Brian.
Yeah, and we don't have as much economic freedom. In some cases, I'd argue none at all. I run a couple of businesses aside from media, and I spend all of my time in bureaucratic, government, crammed-down, Dodd-Frank paperwork. It makes you just want to eat nails. And most small business owners would tell you that if they had a platform to say it to thousands of people, that they're just becoming demoralized because they can't do what they love in their business anymore, for having to fill in the blanks for corporate government type paperwork. And it's becoming a compliance and robotic society. And that has been really amped up under the Obama administration. Two laws in particular, Obamacare and Dodd-Frank. If Donald Trump did nothing else but repeal both of those, replace Obamacare with something better, it would help the economic freedom of the millions of small business in America that are currently being choked by the regulation.
Absolutely. I'm going to hand out a homework assignment right now to the listeners. It's pretty simply this. Go look up Adam Smith, who wrote The Wealth of Nations. He also wrote The Theory of Moral Sentiments, which he said basically people are self-interested, which is what motivates economic freedom, but naturally inclined to help others, which is true, especially here in America. So understand who Adam Smith is and one of the founding fathers of this country. And then look up Hazlitt. Is the guy's name, Hazlitt, Economics in One Lesson. It's a simple book. It's a couple hundred pages. Read it. You will understand. You will be able to have conversations with your liberal friends and tie ropes around their little brains and say, here's how it works and why it works and why your theories don't work now and never have. Economics in One Lesson. It's an easy book. You should read it. Brian, I mean, everybody thinks that Hillary Clinton's probably going to win. I'm not so sure, because what I'm seeing on this end is this upheaval with Obamacare is really costing Hillary Clinton votes and confidence in key swing states. What are you seeing from your perspective?
I think the polls, again, I think this is a Brexit type of year. We saw what happened in the UK. I think it's going to happen perhaps in this election. I think the polls are not far off, but I think they're off enough that the margin of error swings it toward Trump's favor. So if Trump's down by 5 or 6 walking into Tuesday the 8th, maybe he loses. But if it's like the Fox News poll that came out where he's down by 3, and in key swing states, we've had some polls yesterday, Ohio, he's up by 4, up by 2 in Florida, tightening in Pennsylvania.
And North Carolina, yep.
Yeah, in North Carolina. If he's in the margin of error in those states, I think he brings it home. He wins all the Romney states. All the talking about he's going to lose Georgia, he's not losing Georgia. This is a red state, and you're really talking about a poll by the AJC, which is one of the more liberal-focused papers in America.
Sure.
And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of our paper here. I don't think they do a good job. The organization that owns them is a great company, but I don't think I don't think they really have a connection to the voters of Georgia.
My daughter is from Georgia, lives there now north of Atlanta, and if that happened, I'd be down there to talk to her personally if something went wrong there. Brian, I got to let you run, my friend.
All right.
Good talking to you as always.
Thank you.
Brian Crabtree, everybody. You can find him online on Twitter, every place else. It's Free for All Friday.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right, don't be shy. Be part of the conversation. It's 888-900-9966. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about your experiences with Obamacare, like John has done this week with his rates going up 67%. You can talk about your concerns about the Michigan-Michigan State game if you have any. And, of course, you can talk about energy, which we talk about a lot. In fact, that's what Marita Noon is here to talk about, the author of Energy Freedom. Welcome back, Marita.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again.
I think that we are in the middle of the darkening, which is where we are closing power plants and putting up windmills and putting little propellers on our hats, because that's the way we're going to power the world, our little cute little hats, because common sense in energy policy doesn't seem to exist much on the left. Now, Donald Trump, on the other hand, says let's use coal and natural gas and oil and solar and everything we can think of. Put it all on the table. Let's do it all. And if we can develop renewable energy along the way in a better, more economic fashion, that's great. But let's start with what we have and then build towards the future. What's the right path?
Well, the right path is what is wise for each situation. And that's what neither candidate actually is talking about. Although, as you mentioned, I certainly support Donald Trump's position far more than Hillary Clinton's position, because each situation, each state, each geography has a different position that needs to be considered. But I love your comment about that we're facing a darkening, and I'm afraid that's what we're going to see in the northern states of the country this year as we head into winter. And face a really harsh winter this year, according to the experts that I talked to.
Well, there's a good chance. In fact, the sunspot changes. If you listen to some of the old-timers, they say that we could be heading into about a 10-year period of very cold weather because of changes in sun and solar activity. We'll see. Meanwhile, here in Michigan,
do you think the sun has something to do with the weather?
I know. It's a crazy notion, isn't it, that ocean currents and the jet stream and the way the sun acts actually dictates the ebb and flow of heat on the planet. It's weird, isn't it? It's a little thing I like to call science.
Go figure.
Yeah, it's a little thing I like to call science. They don't care for it much in political circles, but I like it a little bit. But as you look at this, 25 plants here in Michigan. I use Michigan as an example because it's my home. 25 coal-fired power plants being shut down before 2020. Several of those have been closed already this year. More to be closed in the next couple of years. And I'm sorry, I just don't know that we have a backup plan ready all the way through. I mean, Michigan's one of the states that relies heavily on coal, 65% or something of that nature of our power coming from coal-fired power plants, and we're disconnecting. Meanwhile, the grid is outdated in many ways. Rickety might be a word that comes to mind. I think we're setting ourselves up for a big series, not one problem, but a series of problems, Marita.
I'm afraid you're right, because as you said, there's no backup plan for coal, sadly, I mean, coal does a great job in providing energy that is effective, efficient, and economical for this country. But Hillary Clinton is, as you well know, is determined that she's going to shut down coal-fired power plants. She's going to put coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Yeah, so, okay. So if that follows, well, here's the thing, though. I don't know, and we were just talking about this with the previous guest. Hillary Clinton's going to come into office if she wins, and you know, the odds-on betting today is that she'll come out by a nose. I'm not sure of that, but if she does, let's play the devil's advocate here. If Hillary Clinton wins a week from Tuesday, she's going to be dogged so badly going into office by all of these scandals that just go on and on and on, and, you know, they're piling up and pay-to-play here and money for Bill Clinton and uranium here and Hillary Clinton raising money for the wife of the guy that eventually investigated her at the FBI and so on and so forth. I don't know that she'll have any political clout left by the 20th of January, even if she does get elected.
Well, it's a good point. There is certainly a lot of stuff that is piling up against her. But, you know, as we've seen with President Obama, with her in the White House, she'll be able to say things. She'll be able to do things like, oh, we're not going to investigate that. We're not going to look at that. And President Obama is certainly covered for her.
Yeah, my point being this. My point being that, you know, her policies, if her policy is to disconnect, you know, coal plants and plug in big windmills or whatever, she may be heavily thwarted on that. I mean, there's be some serious impediments to putting that into place if she has no political clout from day one. I mean, usually a president has something to work with politically when they walk in the White House. If she gets elected, I wonder if she has anything in the gas tank because of the incredible ongoing piles and piles and piles of scandal, Marie. I'm serious. So maybe we don't have the darkening occur quite as quickly at that point, I guess, is what I'm hopeful of.
Well, I agree with you. I'm hopeful for that as well. But it all depends on the makeup of the Congress and whether they're going to go along with her or whether they're not. I mean, again, and of course, it depends. Does she make it into the White House or does she not? And I maintain hope that she does not.
Well, we'll maintain that hope, and I don't know. But right now, I can tell you the good news on the backside of it is that if you look at the Senate races, there is almost no chance that the Democrats are going to pick up the U.S. Senate. In fact, Indiana has now been placed into a toss-up state, which I've said before. Evan Bayh was in trouble in Indiana. Pat Toomey's going to win in Pennsylvania. Burr is going to win in North Carolina. Ayotte is going to win in New Hampshire. They're all ahead in those states. And in Missouri, Blunt's going to win. And in Nevada, Heck's going to win. And in the end, you're going to have 53 Republican senators, which leaves Hillary Clinton with a bare cupboard, if you will. What's she going to do? Throw her weight around with whom exactly? And then in 2 years down the line, you've got 34 senators up for re-election again, 20 of which are Democrats in places like North and South Dakota and other states like Montana where they're going to lose. I mean, it's just a matter of time, and then you wonder what happens from there. Marie, I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word.
Well, 30 seconds for the last word is Michigan has been wise, and every time that wind energy has been before the public for a vote, Michigan has said no to wind energy. And hopefully they'll say no to Hillary Clinton as well.
Well, we'll see what happens, Marita. But either way, we live in interesting times. And I think that's what
we
certainly do. Marita Noon, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you much.
Marita, she has written the book, by the way, Energy Freedom. She also serves as executive director for Energy Makes America Great. And doesn't it, though? America runs on vast quantities of cheap energy. It always has. I mean, you can say what you want, but windmills are not going to push 18-wheelers across Nebraska or ships across Lake Michigan. That comes from real fuel, dense fuel. All right, 52 after. It's Free for All Friday.